Candy Bird, PhD. Miraculous healing.
Do you have any stories of any miraculous healings? Things that would be called miraculous?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Well, let's have one or two.
Right. Well, when I started on my book tour that never ends, I call it, I would often meet these people who would come up to me with their x-rays and their medical records. And these were people who had had cancers of various kinds. It used to make me very nervous because, you know, this did not fit into our current paradigm of medicine. But I'm an open-minded person, and these were real people, and these were real medical records. And this, I'm not talking about two or three. I'm not even talking about nine or ten. I mean, I'm talking about scores of people. You know, some had written their own little books, and these were people who had some kind of instinct that they didn't want to go through a normal course of chemotherapy. And they had some sense that the cancer, rather than being something external to them, was really part of them, a part that they wanted to understand better. And through their own, people did different things, but a key element in all of it was a visualization, a focus on the cancer, as opposed to being afraid to deal with it. They would get into some heavy-duty mind-body kinds of manipulations. Some would use nutritional work, yoga, etc., and miraculous healings. I mean, miraculous cancers, that large tumors that disappeared in days or even weeks, huge tumors. And I should mention that there's a lot of books, a lot of this, I know of two or three books because I blurbed them, that are coming up, that are going to be published in 2002, that are going to vividly recount, you know, one's an Oxford professor, how people cured their own cancer without going through a traditional route.
And when you said they were, you know, miraculous healings, you mean that there was like x-rays before and after, and it was just...
Absolutely. I mean, one example, people would have, one woman had a breast tumor. She had a sense that it was caused by her work as an artist and some of the toxic fumes that she had inhaled, and she stopped that, but she also did a lot of inner work and worked out what had happened, and she had a sudden realization about her brother and all their lives, how he had hurt her and this and that, and literally within 48 hours this thing started to swell and burn and fester, and it was gone. And she has complete x-rays of the whole thing start to finish, pre and post. And of course, a lot of times medical doctors, bless them, they're in the older paradigm, can't really understand this, and so of course they do what the Indians did, who didn't see the ship, and they deny that these things have really happened, and they'll say, gee, maybe the diagnosis was wrong to begin with.
Do you have a theory as to how she was able to make that go away?
Absolutely. I have a theory, and I'm very excited about recent developments in biology and scientific research that show us that our mind literally creates our body, because it has to do with stem cells. And, you know, we've all been hearing about stem cells in terms of, you know, be careful, you get them from an abortion and that kind of thing, and how they can help people. But nobody's thought too much about the implications of stem cells in day-to-day. Like, as we're all sitting here, we are all making stem cells in our bone marrow that are exiting our bone marrow and are moving to regenerate our organs, including our brain. And this is, of course, my gosh, this is amazing. People really fought this discovery, and it's really only the last few months that it's been proven by an NIH scientist conclusively, that we literally make new brain cells from these stem cells from our bone marrow. And why? How? Why does one brain cell manage to get to a place of influence and another one turn into another cell? And that, of course, the entire pathway of chemicals that titillate the outside of a cell and help it to decide what kind of a cell to become and help it move into the right place. This is all due to the action of various ligands, peptides, and others on the receptor. So the same, quote, psychosomatic network, the actual formation of the network is under the control of these chemicals.
So in the case of the woman whose breast cancer went away, could you be very specific what this happened and then this happened?
Okay.
And I know this is a theory, but...
I'll try, but the big question is, what is cancer? And this is the big burning question of our time. And unfortunately, we've been kind of lied to a little bit. Cancer isn't caused by guilt. It's not caused by suppressed emotions. Cancer is caused by pollution and toxicity within our body. Cancer is the is our body's response to trying to clean out toxicity. So we have a wonderful system of healing ourselves when there is toxicity. We have cells that come and basically eat junk and gradually are destroyed and excreted. And as you have more of a need for these cells, more of them come. So I think that there's some overwhelming evidence that breast cancer, there's a tiny percentage that's genetic, but most of it has to do with herbicides and pesticides. And the cells are attempting to cleanse that. And more cells of that type are made. And it's only a matter of time before mutations occur because there's an overproduction of these cells. And then the tumor cells, they start to go out of control. So in many ways, cancers are stem cells that were on their way toward normal development or normal cleansing, and they kind of took a wrong turn and wound up in the wrong place. And once again, and we have published, Dr. Ruff and myself, that many tumor lines really respond to the molecules of emotion in terms of chemotaxis moving in a certain direction. So tumor metastasis is really under the control of molecules of emotion.
So how would a realization in this woman's brain, she has a realization about her brother, how could that chain
right.
all of that?
Well, again, it's a very deep question. Okay. So let's take this woman who realized something about her brother and then set off some massive peptide secretion that in 2 days absorbed the tumor. What's going on? Well, I think the key thing, once again, are these altered modes of consciousness that are all going on at once. So, the tumor itself is secreting peptides. The tumor itself is favoring an altered state that might say, I'm worthless and I just need to get bigger and bigger and grow. And then there might be another competing program that says, I'm not really worthless. My brother was telling me I was worthless all those years for his own aha. And then there's some big aha, and then one altered state can start to dominate over the other, and then, boom, the next thing you know, in ways that we don't understand, there's, we do know different parts of the brain regulate immune activity, and there can be a massive release of chemicals that can change what's happening in the bone marrow, in the spleen, and suddenly there's a bunch of natural killer cells, where suddenly they're all activated, and suddenly they come marching in, surround the tumor, and stop the inflammation, and it might go through an inflammatory phase while it's cleansing, and then it's gone.
Is there a limit to what the body can heal, do you think?
I really believe that the body wants to heal itself, and the limits are in our own minds of what we believe is possible. I think so much more is possible than we appreciate. You know, here we are at the beginning of the 21st century. Is that where we are? And there's just a lot of modern medicine is about how we have to make things more difficult than they really are. From having a baby, something very simple that our foremothers did quite easily. No, I think we have a really amazing ability to heal ourselves if we believe it.
And is there any, do you know of any scientific evidence for that? Because people are always saying, well, that's someone's theory and they're just, you know, they're dreaming. But, you know, we've been interviewing people or some of the people are like, well, real scientists wouldn't really, there's no scientific basis for that. Even though everyone knows of miracles, they say there's no scientific basis. So do you have, is there anything right. you can think of that?
Well, there's accounts. I mean, there's the documentation of cancer recoveries. There's a book from the Institute of Noetic Science, which documents over 1,000 cases of, quote, miraculous healings. So miraculous healings are documented, not just in the cancer field, but in other fields. And once again, the belief system is critical, because I think, I mean, yes, it's a psychosomatic network, and yes, some of us, you know, particularly adolescent boys are, you know, under the control of lower centers. But be that as it may, our brain has, this is our head ganglion, and it has the ability to kind of override and take charge of all of the other multiple personalities or other modules or other subroutines. And so if you get to believe something really, really strongly, it can fire up and reach every cell in your body and transform your body.